like to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 25. Begin reading in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own money with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see that this parable is in the middle of the disciples questioning Christ concerning his return. That goes back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, they said, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Beginning with chapter 25, Jesus in chapter 24 speaks of his coming in regards to their question. And then beginning with chapter 25, he compares his coming to the Eastern custom of a bridegroom. We see that in the first 12 verses there of Matthew chapter 25. He then, in verse 13, he concludes that parable by saying, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And then begins another parable, which is known, of course, as the parable of the talents. And here he doesn't compare himself to a bridegroom. He compares himself to a man traveling into a far country. Now, the very word traveling implies that he's coming back. If you travel somewhere, eventually you're going to come home. You're going to return. And he compares himself here to a man that is traveling, which suggests that he's only gone away for a season. and then he's going to return. And that's what Jesus taught there in John chapter 14. He said he was going away to prepare a place for them. And then, of course, once he prepares that place, he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. But in this parable, what he's doing is he's teaching us what we ought to be doing in the interval. That is, he's gone away, he's going to return. He has not returned yet, so in the meantime, we are to be doing something. And this parable is about service. It's about serving the Lord until he comes. It's really a parable about potential service. Potential service. We all are called to serve the Lord, and we all have potential to serve the Lord. It's also a parable about accountability. Each one of these servants would be accountable when the Lord returns. We don't hear much today about accountability, but there is an accountability to the Lord. I believe there is an accountability in this life, and I believe there will be a giving of account at the judgment seat of Christ. But we want to look tonight about three things. First of all, there's some just general lessons in this parable about service to the Lord. And then there are some warnings from the unprofitable servant, the one who was given one talent, and then, of course, just make some general application to ourselves. But first of all, here in Matthew 25, there's some general instruction concerning service to the Lord. The one thing we learn from this parable is the Lord is the sovereign master of all things, and we are his servants. That is always true. He is the sovereign master. Now, there's basically four characters in this parable. There's the man who is traveling into a far country, which, of course, is representative of Christ. Then there are three servants, which would represent you and I. Now, a servant is somebody that is not his own, doesn't belong to himself. He is somebody that does not exist for his own interest. He exists for the interest of another. He is an individual who is under the government of another. And that pretty much describes you and I as God's people. We are servants. That is, we're not our own. We're not here to live for our own interest. And we are to be under the government, under the control, under the dominion of the Lord. This is our position. It is our position as servants. Now notice in verse 14, the servants were his. It says, his own servants. That's ownership. The servants were his. Not only were the servants his, but everything he gave to the servants were his as well. Notice what it says. And delivered unto them his goods. Not their goods. It was never their goods. It was always his goods. Even when they had them in their possession, they were still his goods. So they are his servants. They are his goods. That's where we are tonight. We are his servants, and everything that he has given to us, everything that he has allowed us to have, even though they may be in our possession, they're still his. They're all his. That's true of all our material possessions. It's true of all of our abilities. It's true of everything. The servants were his. The goods were his. This is taught all through the Word of God, that God is the owner of all. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So no matter what, it all belongs to Him. That is key in serving the Lord. Because there's a lot of people that do not realize that very simple, basic truth. Because they will say things like, it's my body, I can do with it what I want. No, it's not your body. It's my time, I can do with it what I want. It's my spare time, it's my money. No, it's not. It's not yours. You'll never serve God. You'll never serve God until you learn this basic truth. Amen. I'm not my own. Anything I have is not my own. It all belongs to Him. So that's foundational. That's foundational in serving the Lord. Now, we see also, since it all belongs to Him, what we have is not our own. And what we have is to be used as He would use it. It is to be used for His glory. So when we say God owns it all, we're also saying we own nothing. I mean, if He owns it all, we can't own it. We can't own what He owns. He owns it all. Therefore, you and I own nothing. So everything we have, God has allowed us to have, and He has given it to us on loan. And that makes us responsible. That makes us accountable to use whatever it is that God has given us for His honor and for His glory. To use it how He would use it. Our health, our bodies, our money, our time, our spiritual abilities, our physical abilities. We are to use them as God would have us to use them. Everything we should do, everything we do should center around Him. And everything we do should be for Him because He owns it all. So all is to be devoted to Him. We're not going to have a problem devoting what we have to God if, again, we learn that basic truth, it's not mine. It's not mine. And as long as you have that truth, it's not mine, it's His, you don't have any problem devoting it to Him. Where the problem comes in is when you think it's yours. You don't have any problem giving back to God when you know it's His anyway. The problem only arises when we get our thinking twisted and we think it's mine. But it's never ours. It's never ours. So again, we're back to that basic truth. But we learn something else here in this parable. And that is we all receive from God. We all receive something from God. Again, we read in verse 14, He delivered unto them His goods. And the word delivered conveys the idea of He entrusted them with His goods. And we need to look at it that way. Everything we have, God has entrusted it to us. Every physical ability you have, every spiritual ability you have, every blessing you have, God has entrusted those things to you. Now, if you entrust something to another individual, you are trusting them to guard it. You are trusting them to use it as you would use it. You are trusting them to take care of it. And you are trusting them to manage it. So when the man who was traveling in a far country gave these talents to each one, which a talent was just a large sum of money, When he gave those talents to each one, he was entrusting them with them. He was entrusting them to guard them. He was entrusting them to use them, to take care of them, and to manage them. Now, the goods that the master gave to his servants here, again, is in the form of talents or a large sum of money. We're told that the man who received 5 talents, that was about 82 years of wages. That's a lot of money. 82 years of wages, that'll last you your lifetime. The man with 2 talents had 16 years of wages. That's still a lot of money. Someone gives you 16 years of wages, that's pretty nice of them. That's pretty good of them. And then the man with one talent had 32. Well, I'm sorry, the man with 2 talents had 32, the man with 1 had 16. But it's a large sum of money. And they were to use it for the master's honor and glory. They were to use it in the same way that they would think that he would use it. Now, the talents in the parable represent anything and everything that God has given us. It doesn't just represent finances. It doesn't just represent health. It represents anything and everything that God has given us. God does not give to us equally. That's another lesson we learn from this parable. We all receive something from God. God does not give to us equally. And God is not unfair in giving it because we don't deserve anything. I mean, the man who received 5 talents, the man who received 2 talents, God, the master wasn't being unfair. It's still pretty generous to give somebody 16 years of wages or 32 years of wages. That's pretty generous. There's nothing unfair about that. If God gives us anything, there's nothing unfair about that. Nothing. If God gives one person 5 years to live and another person 80, there's nothing unfair with that. God didn't have to give you 5 years. If God gives one person 150 different abilities and he gives another person just one ability, that's still pretty good for God just to give you one thing because we're not deserving of anything. So we have no right to complain about whatever it is that God has given us. God does not give to us equally. God does not have to give to us equally. God does not have to answer to us how he distributes his goods. And any time someone says, well, God isn't fair, again, you ought to be thankful that he isn't. Because if God was fair, you'd be in hell. All of us would. I'm thankful that I don't serve a fair God. I do serve a just God. But he does not give to all equally. So these talents represent, they can represent our influence. They can represent our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our reason, our intellect. God doesn't give everybody the same reason. He doesn't give everybody the same intellect. He doesn't give everybody the same amount of memory or money. He doesn't give everybody the same amount of privileges. He doesn't give everybody the same amount of advantages. He doesn't give everybody the same amount of abilities. But we've all received something. We've all received something from God. There is also here a lesson about responsibility and opportunity. Whatever the servant received, he was responsible for. The man who received 2 talents was not responsible for 5. He was responsible for 2. The man who received 1 talent was not responsible for 2. He was not responsible for 5. He was responsible for 1. And the man who received 5 talents was not responsible for 2 talents. He was responsible for 5. He was not responsible for 1 talent. He was responsible for five. The lesson is, whatever it is that God has given us, and He has not given to us all equally, but whatever it is that God has given us, we're responsible for. If God has given you 100 things, you're responsible for 100 things. Not 101, 100. If God has given you 50 things, you're responsible for 50. If God has only given you one, you're responsible for one. If God has given you one, He's not going to hold you accountable for 100. He's going to hold you accountable for one. But the lesson is, whatever it is that God has given us, we're responsible for. Not only are we responsible for it, I believe when God gives us something, He also gives us the opportunity to properly take care of it and to properly use it. And if we don't, then of course we're accountable. We're accountable for that. So each of them were obligated. Each of them were obligated to keep or to guard what the master gave them. They were each obligated to use what God gave them. They were each obligated to take care of what God gave them. They were each obligated to manage what the servant or the master had entrusted to them. So every one of us is obligated to God. All mankind, saved or lost, is obligated to God. If God has given you one thing, that makes you obligated. And if you were born, He gave you life. You're obligated. You're obligated to God. And I believe God gives us the opportunity to use what He's given us for His honor, for His glory. There is also the lesson of accountability. We are responsible, and we will be held accountable for what we receive. Notice verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That is, they became accountable. Now, it just says that the man was gone for a long time. We don't know how long. But we know the way the human mind works. We know the way human nature works. That if the boss has gone a long time, pretty soon people become lax. They become lax. And that's at least what happened to this one particular servant in the parable. But what we need to note here is it's not how much one receives that's important. It's what we do with what we receive that's important. That's what's important. That's what we will be held accountable for. Now you'll notice the man with five talents was declared to be a good and faithful servant. Why was he a good and faithful servant? Was he a good and faithful servant because he had five talents? No. His faithfulness was not dependent on what he had. He was a good and faithful servant because of what he did with what he received. Now, if faithfulness is based upon what we receive, then the man with five talents is more faithful than the man with two talents. But that's not what he says. Because we see the man with two talents, he also is a good and faithful servant. Not because of the amount of talents he received, but because of what he did with what he received. The man who received one talent, he was declared to be a wicked and slothful servant. Why was he a wicked and slothful servant? Was it because he only received one talent? No, that had nothing to do with it. It was because of what he did with that one talent. You see, many times people get this twisted. They begin to think, oh, so-and-so's got more, he's got so much talent, and they look at them as faithful. And another individual may not have much ability at all, and they're considered perhaps as unfaithful. But it's not what you have that makes you faithful. It's what you do with it. That's what makes you faithful or unfaithful. What do we do with what God has given us? And again, we're not just accountable for certain things. He was accountable for 5 talents, the other was accountable for the 2 talents, and the other was accountable for the 1 talent. We are accountable for what we receive. That's what we're accountable for. The man who received 1 talent, again, was referred to as a wicked and slothful servant. Now, I believe that man had as much opportunity as the other two to use what he had. But he didn't use what he had. And that was the problem. So let's look at some warnings from this wicked and slothful servant. Notice in verse 25. How does one become a wicked and slothful servant? You say, well, they've got to go out and if they commit some gross sin, they become a wicked and slothful servant. That's true. But you don't have to go out and commit what people consider a horrible sin to be wicked and slothful. All you have to do is not use what God's given you. And you're wicked and slothful. Now, that's quite a charge, wicked and slothful servant. He didn't just say that he was an unfaithful servant. He said, you're wicked. You're wicked and you're lazy. Now, in my way of thinking, a wicked and slothful servant is basically worthless. He's of no use. And what made him of no use? He didn't use what he had. Didn't use what he had. There are a lot of people, or he misused what he had. And a lot of people today do not use what they have, or they misuse what they have. And according to this parable, that makes you a wicked and slothful servant. Now, notice some things about this man. In verse 25, of Matthew 25. I was afraid, and then went and hid thy talent in the earth. I believe that shows that this man was earthly minded. He hid his talent in the earth. No earthly minded individual will be a good and faithful servant. In order to be a good and faithful servant, you have to be heavenly minded. But notice also, this individual had wrong thoughts about his master. He didn't think right about his master. Notice verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I knew that thou wast a hard man, or a severe man, very difficult to please. And he basically accuses his master here of being cruel and a man without compassion to his servants, a man who would unjustly withhold what was his servant's due, and a man who demanded service that could not possibly be rendered. This man thought wrongly of his master. And you look at anybody that does not serve God, and I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, they have wrong thoughts about the Lord. They have wrong thoughts about their master. Now notice the result of having these wrong thoughts. Verse 25, and I was afraid. I was afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of his master. Why was he afraid of his master? Because he thought wrongly. He had a wrong perception of his master. And there are a lot of God's people who live in fear of their master. And it's because they have a wrong perception of the master. So here was a man who really, when he said, I was afraid, we don't know how long the master was gone, but we do know he was gone a long time. It says that. But however long of a period that was, here was a man who had a talent delivered unto him, 16 years of wages delivered unto him, but he had no pleasure. That talent did not bring him any pleasure whatsoever. It did not bring him any joy. What he had received from his master did not give him pleasure, did not give him joy, because he thought wrong of his master. He had a wrong perception of his master. And because of that, he was afraid. That is, he now had a wrong emotion. You get a wrong perception. A wrong perception is going to be followed by a wrong emotion. And what is going to be followed by a wrong emotion? A wrong decision. And that was next. What did he do? He went and hid thy talent in the earth. Bad decision. But where did that decision process begin? With what he thought about his master. You talk to somebody that's backslidden. You talk to somebody that tries to defend a sinful lifestyle. And I'm telling you, every single time, without exception, they have wrong thought. They have a lower thought of God than they should have. And that leads to an emotion they should not have, which is going to lead to decisions that are bad and that are going to cost them dearly. So he made bad use of his privileges. He had the privilege with that one talent to do what the others did with their talents. God did, the master didn't withhold any privileges from him. But he robbed himself of privileges, and he robbed himself of opportunities, and he robbed himself of the blessings. But notice something else about this man, and that is he did not recognize what he had as a gift. Now, I grant you, he did recognize it as his master's, but he did not recognize it as a gift. Notice in verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Thou gave to me 5 talents. Then notice verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me. But when he comes to the man with 1 talent, in verse 24, he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man. He did not say, thou deliverest unto me one talent. The others recognized that what they had was a gift from their master. This man did not recognize that. Now, he did refer to it as the master's talent, but my point is he did not recognize it as a gift from God. When you recognize it as a gift, that means you're unworthy to receive it. You're undeserving to receive it. You're going to appreciate it more. And the one with five talents, the one with two talents, appreciated their talents more than the one with one. And the reason is they realized that they were gifts from God. And the very moment that you and I realize that everything we have is a gift from God, the more we appreciate it. You see, human nature has a tendency to take things for granted. That's our nature. And that's why we constantly have to remind ourselves, we need to sometimes just look, just sit down and just look around. Look around at everything that God has given you. And then just thank God for giving it to you. Recognize it as a gift. Recognize it as a gift from God. Realize that you're undeserving of any of it. Don't worry about what somebody else has. The one with two talents wasn't worried about the man with five talents. He was responsible for two. And that's how it is with us. We're just responsible for what God has given us. No more, but no less either. So the man did not recognize the gift. But notice also verse 27. This is what the master said to this man who hid his one talent. Two words, thou oughtest. How sad. Two of the saddest words that can be uttered, thou oughtest. Or you should have. You ought to have done such and such. And I'm sure maybe at this time this man with one talent realizes, I shouldn't have buried that talent. I ought to have done such and such. How sad it is to come to the end of your life or to get way up in the years and all you can do is look back at your life and say, I should have done that. Amen. I ought to have done such and such. And I'm sorry, but I don't think any of us will look back and say, boy, I sure wish I hadn't gone to church so much. Sure wish I didn't read my Bible as much as I did. People that are in their that are dying and they know they're dying say, I should have. And sometimes they'll say things to younger people, they'll say, don't make the same mistake that I made. I should have done such and such. Listen to those people. They've learned a lesson. A lesson, hopefully, that we do not have to learn at the end of our life. But we see because this man wasted what he had. How many people waste their health and then they get deathly ill? And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everybody that's deathly ill has wasted their health. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have an individual that has obviously wasted their health, misuse the health that God has given them. They get deathly ill and they say, I should have. I should have. How many times do you hear people say, if I had known I'd lived this long, I'd have taken better care of myself? Well, there's a lot of truth to that. I should have. How sad. That is testimony of waste. But then notice the application of all of this is we need to take inventory of what God has entrusted us with, and we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful with what God has given us. whatever that is. It's different with different people. If God has not given you an ability to teach, then you're not accountable for that. If God has not given you an ability to sing, you're not accountable for that. You are accountable for whatever it is that God has given you. And if you say, well, God hasn't given me anything, you need to open your eyes. Because God has given us all something. He's given us more than just one thing. So God has given us health. Do any of us know how long we will be healthy? None of us know. You can be unhealthy by the end of this night. We just don't know. We don't know how long we'll be healthy. But as long as I am healthy, I'm accountable for that. However long that is. God has given each one of us influence. That is, He's put people in our lives that we have influence over. We're accountable for that. We are responsible for that influence. How we use that influence. There may only be one person in your life that you have influence over, but you're accountable for that influence. There may be hundreds. There may be thousands. But whatever it is, you're accountable. There are degrees of spiritual knowledge. God has given some insight into truth. Others do not have as much insight into truth. But whatever it is, you're accountable for. Whatever truth God has given you, you're accountable for. Now, when God gives us truth, that's something we're to guard. You know, people say, well, can't you just compromise this one? It's not mine to compromise. It's not yours to compromise. It's God's truth. And God simply gave it to us to guard it. So compromise is out of the question because it's not mine to do that. I don't have that liberty. You don't have that liberty. But whatever truth God has given us, we're accountable for. The money that God has given us, we're accountable for. The position that God has given us, we're accountable for. If you're a teacher, you're accountable for that. If you're a preacher, you're accountable for that. If you're a pastor, you're accountable for that. Whatever position that God has put us in, we are accountable for. We are accountable as moms and dads, as grandmothers and grandfathers. We're accountable for all of these things. God has given us these things. We're accountable. God has given us privileges. And we're accountable for the privileges we have. He gives us privileges to pray. He gives us privileges to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to search the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God. He gives us all of those privileges. We can go bury it in the earth. Well, no matter what we do, we are accountable. We have the privilege to serve the Lord. We have the privilege to worship the Lord. We have the privilege to grow deeper into the Lord. I don't think any of us are fully aware of all the privileges God has given us to grow. And you're accountable for that. You are accountable. You're accountable for every Lord's day. You're accountable for every other day as also. But you're accountable for every Lord's day, how you use that. Every Lord's day is a privilege to grow. You're accountable for that. Whatever you do with that, you're going to be accountable. You're going to be held accountable for that. We are accountable for the advantages that God has given us. And you and I that live in the United States, we have more advantages than anybody else in the whole world. And we're going to be accountable. We're responsible for what God has given us. God has given us degrees of talent. What are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? What are we doing with the abilities that God has given us? How long are you going to have those abilities? You don't know. Don't ever assume that because you've had a certain ability for 20 years, you'll always have it. God can take it away at any time. At any time. God can cause something to happen and that ability be gone. So you just don't know. You can develop cancer in the mouth, have your tongue cut out, your ability to sing, your ability to preach, your ability to teach, guess what? It's gone. You no longer can use it. It's gone. And then you say, well, I wish I would have. But you didn't. But you didn't. Do we use the abilities that God has given us to be a blessing to others? God has each given us privileges to be a blessing to others. God has given us privileges to encourage others. God has given us privileges to edify and enhance the body of Christ. What do we do with all of these things? Do we bury them? If we do, it's because we have the same problem that the man in the parable had. We have wrong thoughts of the Lord. We think too lowly of the Lord. God has given us time. One of the greatest gifts that God can give anybody is time. Time. It's one of the most precious things that you have. And it is one of those things that we take for granted. And it is one of those things that many misuse. Time goes very, very quickly. There are a lot of things that I can not use and perhaps make up for later. You can't do that with time. Once you waste time, you never get it back. It's gone. You can regret over it, but it's gone. How much time do we have? None of us know. But we do know that God has entrusted each one of us with a certain amount of time. He has not given us all equal time. Some of us may live the same amount of years, but most of us will die at various years. God doesn't give us equal time. But that's not what's important. What's important is how we use the time that God has given us. And much of that time is wasted. And that's why in another parable, Jesus said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard. Today." You know, people for years have been saying, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Or I'm going to do that next week. I'm going to do that when such and such happens." And they come to their dying moments and they still haven't done it. And now it's too late. Go work today in my vineyard. That's why if there's something we know that God would have us to do, do it today. Do it today. Do not put it off. We need to do it today because we may not have tomorrow. And even if we have tomorrow, we may not have the opportunity to do it tomorrow. So do it today. And we need to learn valuable lessons from this servant that was referred to as wicked and slothful. I'm sure if we were to ask everyone, would you rather be a good and faithful servant or a wicked or slothful servant, which would you prefer? Everybody wants to be a good and faithful servant. How many times you've heard people say, oh, those are the words I want to hear, good and faithful servant. Well, they sure don't live like it. That's not how they live their lives. I mean, they're living their lives. You know what they're going to hear? Thou wicked and slothful servant. So God help us to realize that what God has given us, it's His. It's His. That's why when somebody asks you and tries to tempt you to misuse your body, you can just tell him, I'm sorry. But I don't have that right because it's not my body. So I don't have that right. It's not mine. God gave it to me. It's his. If they want us to misuse our time or whatever it is, we don't have that right because it's not ours. It's his. When they want us to compromise truth, it's not yours to compromise again. It's his. That's a good, to me, that's just a good line. I'm sorry, I can't. It's not mine. Just like if I borrow my neighbor's lawnmower and another neighbor comes and says, can I borrow your lawnmower? No, it's not mine. I wouldn't have any trouble telling that. It's not mine to lend you. That's true with everything else also. It's not mine to do with what I please. It belongs to God. And as soon as we learn that truth, that's when we can start to serve the Lord. But we have to learn that very basic truth. God help us to learn those truths. Brother Larry, if you'd come.